Okay, class, I want to take back up, but I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 because it's of utmost importance as we train you how to function under an apostolic mantle or apostolic anointing. And the reason I'm emphasizing this so much is not just because I stand in the office, but because the church have suffered so much spiritually because you have not been in divine order as the Lord has said. So also open your Bibles to Ephesians 4:11. We'll start at 2 Timothy 3:16 because I want to go over that. For it is so important to ministry that you have these two sets of scriptures in place. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We can never get away from that verse in ministry. That verse will hold you in place. So I give you four things the word would do to and with an individual. And so I give you those four: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. I'm going to give it to you again and maybe elaborate as the Spirit lead me. Doctrine establishes order of God, the right doctrine. There are a lot of other things may come up, but if you know the right doctrine, it will put you in divine order. And that's one of the things you want to do. You want to be in divine order, because that puts you in a supernatural position, and that puts you in the divine will, divine plan, divine purpose, divine power. Divine privileges will come in your life in ministry because of right doctrine. That doctrine is anointed, is the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is so important. And then reproof will have to be in your ministry. You will have to be anointed. And here's what reproof: dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. In other words, in error. Ministers are designed to correct people who are going in error. So you're going to have to be anointed for that. You're going to have the government of the Spirit in place for that to take order. So the dismantling of error, I think a good lesson is in the 8th chapter of Acts when Philip went down to Samaria. They were in error in that whole city because this man had taken them to believe that he was the great power of God. But when Philip came and started preaching Christ, that error they were in, they saw it because the anointing took over and addressed the situation. Correction, the assimilation of truth in thought process. Now, there's a lot of thoughts out there now. There's a lot of false thinking out there now, even about church structure. They bringing in all kind of things. One of them is, and you're going to be shocked on this one, they're bringing in one talking about praise break, and they do that 1.5 hours, 2 hours, dancing and jumping around, looking at their feet. That is not God. That's emotional acting. That is not God. The presence of God is greater than that. So you're going to run up on things that look like it's right, and crowds are following it, but it's not God. So from an apostolic point of view, or from the apostolic mantle carrier, or being a instructing from an apostolic covering, you're going to know the difference. So there's a lot of correction going to be made. The assimilation of truth in thought process. People think they're really worshiping God. Then instruction. And I like what he said about instruction, the systematic application of God's word in your life. So you have to be systematic. You mean you got to carry God's word out right, you got to work in a divine systematic system that is given you by the Holy Spirit. Now, class, I can't address Ephesians 4:11 enough to the 16th verse. So this is where I believe the Lord is calling us back at this hour. This is the only hope for the church. The hope for the church is ministers. If ministers who've been called by God do it like God have told us to do it, then the church will stand a good chance. So listen to this again before I get back in our teaching on the apostolic ministry. 11th verse, and he gives some, and the word some is important there. I just want to rephrase that. Not everybody called in his office. Apostles, some, prophet, and some evangelist, and some pastor and teacher. Now notice, I want to pull this out now, while the Spirit, some. He keeps saying the word some. That means some is and some are not. For the perfection of the saints. Very important, completion. And that's why I give you those four doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction for the perfecting, for the maturing of the saint. So for the work of the ministry, three things, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of faith, not as the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature full of Christ. Why are you reading this to us again? Listen, verse 14, to be henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, that was going on, carried about with every wind of doctrine, that was going on. By the sight of man, that was going on, and cunning craft, that was going on, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now notice that word deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. In other words, the truth sometime is not going to be the most applaudable thing. I've experienced that in my life. You preach the truth, and a lot of times people back off. They really don't want that. They want their emotional stuff. They want make them feel good, but they need to know the truth. And notice verse 16, I believe, is where we are called, and you're in the school for. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now notice the whole body, and notice every joint, every part. And that's where we have to train the body of Christ in ministry, and I want students to leave this school to know how to train the body of Christ in that aspect of ministry. Now turn with me to Titus chapter 1. And verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now here's an apostle setting things in order. And if a person not submitted to an apostle, their church is not going to function as grave as it should or as powerful as it should. So remember that. Here's a term. When the local church is out of order, oh God, and is she out of order? The church is so much out of order now. I've watched it for 48 years, and I've came through ranks and came through time learning things, and I'm not there yet. You never get there. You're always a student, ever learning. Somebody said ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But there's an ever learning and coming more to the knowledge of the truth. When a local church is out of order, the apostle will discern it. Now that's the key, because so much going on, you think is on track. Songs, a rhyming, everything, everybody clapping. The preacher is got a whole outline. But yet, if consecration is not there, dedication is not there to the Lord, if holiness and righteousness is not there, that means that church is out of order. When a local church is out of order, the apostle will discern it. Watch what he do. And set things in order. Now in the LTMA, I can go to either one of the churches in the LTMA and say, look, let's get this straight. Let's change that. They'll know that I'm doing it from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now very few, it's just not bragging, not boasting, but very few organizations is as strong as the LTMA. And the reason is that all the back training that God have given me and all the rough territories I've gone through and all the ministers, even ministers who have tried to hold me down, they did not want me known, because a lot of stuff are being uncovered and a lot of stuff are being discovered. I want you to write that. Uncovered and discovered in the spirit realm because of my hot pursuit for the things of God. I never let up. Class, I want you to know this, 48 years, I never let up. There's a hot, and it's still there. And I feel the anointing coming, because God told me he wanted me to open this school so this anointing can be upon you all. There's a hot pursuit, and when that started happening, there's a lot of things are uncovered. There's a lot of things are discovered that the Lord wanted to do. And this one of the things here about the apostolic ministry, he wanted back in place so the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, or the teacher, or whatever you call, whatever you call to do, you have that apostolic anointing there. And so things have to be set in order by the apostolic anointing. Apostolic ministry is necessary to set order in the church. Now watch this, and maintain that order. See, you can set order, but order can be disrupted. But in the apostolic, with the overseeing position as the Apostle Paul did, Peter, you keep an eye on the church. I think it's in Acts 28, take heed to yourself and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer. So first of all, the apostle ministry had to be in order. Their lives had to be in order. But then they are to set, as watchmen, to set order in the church and maintain that order. I think there's a scripture that says, let everything be done decently and in order. There's a divine order that Satan try to interrupt all the time, because if he can dilute that power, he can divide the church, okay? So without the apostolic ministry, without the growth and the development in other areas, and like I said, I'm a pastor, teacher, evangelist, I've been in all those areas, and I think in order for to function in the apostolic properly, you have to grow above the cheerleader growth, just cheering people on. No, sometimes you got to cut. Sometimes you got to stop. With love, do everything. You cheer in love and you cut in love. But it has to be done for the church to get in the right place. So make note, class, apostolic ministry is necessary to set order in the church and to maintain order. So set order, maintain. What do you mean? It means that because of the satanic influence, you can set a church in order and to get back out of order. So when you have that overseeing anointing over a church, they recognize that the apostle is there for to correct this. So I need to correct this right now myself. So the church get in a corrective order. The kingdom of God operates through divine order and authority. Two words, order and authority. You reverse them, authority and order. It's so important that spiritual authority be in place to keep satanic powers from flowing, imitating the real thing. That's where we go back to discernment. So that apostolic ministry is there for that. The kingdom of God operates through divine order and authority. Don't forget that. the kingdom of God. I'll pass up on to you that will make your ministry real strong when you're ministering. People need to know that they're not just church members. They need to know that they are kingdom citizens. That's so important. I'd put it in another category, because churches, when you say the word church, man, you might end up with anything. But kingdom, Romans 14 and 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, three things, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to. So the kingdom of God operates through divine order and authority. Order and authority. Authority and order. Where there's no authority, there's no authority in the home. The home not going to be in order. And so there are so many loose things that you come into the church, and we got to be strong and have the wisdom of God on how to deal with it. So again, it's being repeated here. Apostles have, and the word authority is in all capital letters, authority to set things in order. That's, so see the disorder and the dismantling of things in the church, how everybody just kind of, well, that apostolic, or over the major part of the body of Christ, a major part of churches, they have no apostolic order. I mean, they're wearing all these titles, and I'm not putting them down, but in this school, I have to unfold this to let you know there's a real place in ministry. And I thank God, and ministry is not hard. If you stay in the presence of God, if you stay in the will of God, I'm not suffering. It's not hard. Lord, please help me. I don't have to pray that. As long as you stay in divine order, see. So you got to operate in divine order. And so apostles have the authority to set things in order. Setting in order can mean, now here's some of the things of setting in order, and I want you to get this. And correcting is number one. Correcting. The right, the apostles have the right to correct things. Things out of order, correct it. Now, second, it get heavier now. Get heavier. And some people, when they say they want an apostolic curve and can't handle the next one, rebuke it. I will rebuke you in a minute. Not that I know everything, but that when that rebuking, I never heard it. When that rebuking anointing arrives, it's time to use it. An apostle wears a rebuking anointing. Sometimes you need to be stopped fast, because you're going to the end of the cliff. Ain't got time to run an analogy, read 15 scriptures. Stop now in the name of Jesus. That's wrong. And now if you're not submitted, you're not committed, you go and join another organization. I've seen it. Man told us one time he wanted to be a part of LTMA, and they had him doing read a book, an outline. He said, oh, I don't want that kind of. And so we let him go. My MVB let him go. So that there's that area of correcting, rebuking. Now you're not going to like this next one. And removing people from certain positions. See, that's right now. I'm in the process, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm following the Lord of this praise and worship in the church, and all this music, and these people doing their thing, is blocking what the church need at this time. The church don't need to be serenaded. The church need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And a lot of people who are leading the praises and playing the music are not dedicated to the Lord. They're dedicated to the music and the sound. And so now, you know, you're tackling a hard thing, but the apostolic anointing is available for that. And then once the churches in the LTMA watch the development and the impact, ooh, glory, that the Holy Ghost is bringing in the church now, it's rising and rising and taking all these superstars off the stage. Now, who would attack that? Man, that's a lot of people out there, you know. But that's what the Lord is doing now. And that's an apostolic turnover in the church, getting the church ready for these times. These times will not work by serenaded ministry, smooth ministry. It's ministry who know how to fight, ministry who know how to walk in anointing, ministry who know how to walk by faith, ministry who knows how to be led by the Spirit. It is also include dealing with sin. Oh my God. Sin has to be dealt with. Consecration, holiness. You don't throw a person away because they make a mistake, but you walk them through it and let them know that there is a life you can live beside this life. That's powerful. But sin, we have to deal with sin, class. We have to deal with, number two, because the question might be on your test, what you got to deal with? Sin, number two, rebellion. Number three, disobedient. Number four, confusion. Listen to the last statement now, which often gains a foothold in the church. So you had to deal with sin. They had to repent. The Lord revealed a person sinning. They can't hold position in sin. Those who become rebellious. Other words, there's a guideline, there's a rule set by the apostle, and they're going to go do their own thing. You got to deal with that. Disobedient. We got to deal with that. It says, Isaiah 1:19, write that down. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I think also in Job 36:11, I might have something about obedience. If they obey and serve him. Yeah. Obedience is so important in the church. And then, Lord, there's the one confusion. Oh, Lord. I think sin, rebellion, and disobedience lead to confusion. And so you want those four things out of your life, which often gain a foothold in the church. And what happened, a large part of the church, these four, sin, rebellion, disobedience, and confusion have gotten into the church and have gained a foothold. And that's why the church is not as powerful as she should be. So our apostolic orders are to help everybody we can to realize how to get back in place, how to eradicate sin, rebellion, disobedience, and confusion. If you have any of those things in your life, you know, as your instructor and as the president of this school, listen at those instructors, they will get all of that out of your life. And blessed are the meek. See, you get all them things in your life, you walk in meekness and humbleness, then you can draw nigh to God. But with sin, rebellion, and disobedience, and confusion, you're not going to be able to walk in line with God as you should walk. So therefore, we want to instruct you how to overcome these things. Apostle deal with, here's another word now. We're dealing with sin, number one class, rebellion, number two class, disobedient, number three, confusion, number four, and here's another one. Also, apostle also deal with strife, division, and carnality. Now, boy, we got a list here now. Sin, rebellion, disobedience, confusion, strife, division, carnality. Get that down, class. Get it down. You got to get all this out of your life. Sin, rebellion, two. Disobedience, three. Confusion, four. My. Strife, five. Division, six. And carnality, seven. Just happened to touch the number in the Bible of completion. So the church is not going, your ministry, your life, the church is not going to be complete until they get these seven things dealt with. Sin, rebellion, disobedience, confusion, strife, division, and carnality. Wow, wow. I've seen some of this in my lifetime. I've stirred away from it as the Lord taught me, but those seven words, I want it out of your life. I want sin out of your life. I want any rebellions you got in your life, in your marriage or relationship, any disobedience, any confusion, in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that out of your life right now. Strife, division, let it go. Let the Holy Spirit take it over. Let him show you what to do. He will show you what to do. Your ministry begins in your home. All right? Your ministry begins in your home. It doesn't mean you're not going to have some things you got to deal with. All right? But it begins at your home. I could tell some of what a minister doing by his family. Your family don't have to be torn up because you're a minister. If they're trying to use that excuse, it's something that you didn't do. I traveled a lot. I traveled 500 hours in the air one year. And my wife was taking care of the children. But she did a good job. You follow what I'm saying? So you know, because you're a minister, you got to go through all these damnable things. And a football player don't have to go through it? What? You see what I'm saying? Don't accept those things. Get these sin, rebellion, disobedience. Come on. Confusion. Strife. You don't want division. What the Lord said about a house divided? Should not stand. And carnality. Carnality is operating in the flesh and think you're operating in the spirit. That cannot be done. We have to have. So those seven major opposition to your ministry, I like that, Lord. You must deal with them. And I want you to start, class, I want you to start dealing with them now. I want you to search and see if there's any sin, any rebellion, any disobedience, any confusion, any strife, any division, any carnality in your personal life. Because if you do, you carry it to the pulpit with you. All right? So make sure those seven things you putting a Luke 10:19 on them. He had power to tread on serpent and scorpion. Those are seven serpents there. That will destroy your ministry. Are you hearing me? All right, now, when things are out of order in our lives and churches, see lives first, churches, apostolic preaching and teaching will confront it and correct it. And that's what I'm doing in school right now. You want to get those things, those seven things out of your life, and I'm confronting them right now. God sent you to this school, so I want you to make your marriage work. If you're single and you're waiting on your mate, make that work. Do what you got to do, and I know the Lord will be with you. All right, so preaching and teaching, and just like right now, some of y'all might be under conviction of how I'm teaching this morning, the seven things we talked about. That's good. It's working. Okay? I'm teaching, I'm ministering you out of love, but that's why God sent you to school. I don't know what you may have picked up in your family, you may have had people swinging at you at different times in your life. You got to let all that go. I live my life in total freedom. Total freedom with the opposition. And so you never answer your critic. It's a good lesson. Never answer your critic. Just do what you do. Do it with all your heart. Do it. And so the answer's going to start coming out of your life and your ministry, and they're going to recognize that God is with you. So when things are out of order in our lives and churches, apostolic preaching and teaching will not only confront it, class, but correct it, help you, love you, be with you, hold your hand. Don't throw you out to the dog, all right? The apostle have the grace. Listen to this now. Grace, boldness, and authority to confront and correct. Now, that statement, I need to elaborate on that because we're going to talk about seven things that are terrible. You cannot be dictatorial as an apostle. An apostle have the attraction of grace valve open all the time. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. The apostle is not, he'll rebuke you, but he won't attack you. See, there's a grace that you have to have, and the person who is in the spirit will know, they will see that grace in your life. You dare not try to have authority without grace. You dare not try to correct somebody by not having grace in your life. So the apostle have the grace given from God. See, the fivefold ministry gifts are grace gift. The apostle have the grace, boldness, and authority. Three things. Grace, notice what first. Boldness and authority. Notice what for authority. Grace and boldness. What a combination. What a combination. Write those three words down. Grace, boldness, and authority. You will need the same thing in ministry. Whatever I'm saying about the apostle, you will need it. And then being connected with an apostle, if y'all graduate out of school and you're not connected with an apostle, never be without the grace of an apostle over you. Stay connected with this ministry. I'll still be your apostle. I know you might have your pastor, but I still will be your apostle to help your pastor, all right? The apostle have the grace, boldness, and authority to confront. Confront by itself is not good enough. And correct. In other words, an apostle must have the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the counsel within himself, discernment, to be able to not only confront, but to correct properly. Very important. Correct properly. There's correcting and there's correcting properly. All right, turn to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Finna look at one of my favorite verses. Matthew 16 and 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen to what I'm about to say, class. I'm about to say a powerful thing. This verse is based on a ministry operating in revelation. It's based on a minister operating in revelation or by revelation. In other words, someone who can yield to what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you read the context of this verse, you'll see that happen when Peter got the revelation of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that revelation is the key, or is the keys to a successful ministry. And so now that call for spending quality time with God. Not just reading, but seeking his face. Class, I'm giving you the key to ministry. Seeking his face, meditating his word. The Lord said to Joshua, Moses had a successful ministry, and you about to become his successor. If you want the ministry that Moses had, you got to do exactly what Moses did. And so the key factor of ministry, I'm about to give it to you, is Joshua 1 and 8. Turn there. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do all that written therein, and then thou shalt make thy ministry prosper, and thou shalt make your ministry have good success. I'm speaking from experience. You can see the joy on me. You can sense the joy even on me, that I'm not troubled, that I'm not troubled by my family, I'm not troubled by my ministry, I'm not troubled by my health, I'm not troubled by my finances. I'm just not troubled. I'm living a Joshua 1:8 life. And listen, now I'm gonna say something that's gonna rock your boat. And you'll never forget it. Of all the teaching I taught you, God didn't do it, I did it. Look back at Joshua 1:8. See, God has done this for all of us. So it's a seller deal. But what you gonna do with it? And so these last 48 years, I've been doing Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1-3. Those two verses, I want you to get them. Joshua 1:8, Psalm, blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1, that walketh not in the counsel of the Lord, nor seek, set in the seat of sin, or stand in the way of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he gets down to the end of the third verse, whatsoever he do shall prosper. There's a ministry out there like that. There's a ministry there. But you got to be totally sold, O-U-T, out. You have to pursue God with all your heart. I love it. I love to teach you. I love that many of you out of this class going to enjoy, I'm getting full now, going to enjoy the benefit of real ministry. Or if you have a genuine call in your life, and as you're doing training yourself properly, see these classes, they're not going to ever leave you. That anointing, that authority, that ability is being imparted to you right now in this class to eradicate erroneous things like sin, rebellion, confusion. Pattern your life after Jesus. Good God Almighty. Pattern your life, pattern your ministry after Jesus' ministry. See what he did. You remember what he said in Luke 4:18? For he started, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, that's what you want. Always, class, be sure that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Make sure you put yourself in a position to be anointed. Being anointed is so powerful. Praying in the Spirit, hours after hours. Being in God's presence, have a pad and a pen with you. Let me teach you something. And you're going to get little phrases. You write that phrase down, and he's going to give you a complete thought. I have my little pad I pray with. And don't forget, class, get on your knees. You don't have to stay on your knees, but at least get down there. Sometime, get on your knees before God and tell him, I want to know. I want to see. I want to understand. I want to do. I want you to be with me. I want your hand to be on me. I want you to let me speak your words. Let me speak words with life, rhema word that will affect people's life. And class, you got to love people. See, if you don't love people, want to put in sin, you won't call them and condemn them. No, that's what you out there for, to help the people. Nobody wants to just live in that old sinful life. If they have somebody to help them, they can get out. So you're going to need patience. All right? You're going to need that in your life also. So, class, until the next time, I'll see you in the next session. We'll take up in Matthew 16:19, where the apostle bind, B-I-N-D, and loose. That's where we'll take up in our next class. I'll see you in the next class.